It's lovely to be here tonight and to share the Word of God with you. And I hope you've got a copy of your Bible on your lap. I'm going to read from it in a moment. And I'd just like to say something about this book, this lovely book. There are many libraries in Bangor, but you'll never find a book quite up to this. And I would like just to say a few things about it. And what's required of me? All that is required of me is to live up to the light that God has given me and His Word. And you and me, we are to let the Lord speak through His Word. That is exactly what this book is. This book is the Word of God. Every word is true, and every word is perfect. This is the only direct revelation we have from God. It's all contained within 66 books, 39 books in the Old Testament, and 27 books in the New Testament. This is the revelation from God. No one is to take anything from it or add anything to it. If they do, the plagues that are written in here will be added to them. This book is the revelation of heaven to me. And so, because it has no equal, and because it rises above all other things in this world, because it in itself is heavenly, it is always our responsibility to come to this book, to this revelation, and to understand the glorious message that's in it. And I'm going to preach from a text in Jeremiah, which I pray will be a blessing to you and to me. Let me just read this verse to you from Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And it's the first phrase. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And I want us to consider that. They're lovely, lovely verses. First of all, I'd like just to pray a second. You bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the precious word of God. And I ask you to bless the preaching of the word of God, that we might hear that other voice in the preaching, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, if you've got your Bible open and you turn to chapter 1, you will pick up a few things here that I'm going to mention. First of all, Jeremiah the man. Unlike many of the prophets, Jeremiah has a lot to say about himself. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 1, you see there he was a priest by birth. And he was called by the Lord to the prophetic ministry, and he was in the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel, through sin, had been divided into two kingdoms, Israel at the top in the north and Judah in the south. And he was called at an early age. If you look at verse 6 there. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. He pleaded his youth, his inexperience, his deficiency of speech, that he didn't feel able to do anything, and his reasons for not responding to the call of God in his life. Look at verse 5. When did Jeremiah first come to the notice of the Lord? You read there these lovely words in verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He then received divine endowment in verse 9 and commission in verse 10. And then in chapter 16, verse 2, he was asked not to marry. The message he had to bear was a stern and a solemn one, and it cost this tender-hearted man, a truly patriotic man, much sorrow. Jeremiah was the prophet of a broken heart. He preferred the welfare of his country before his own reputation. Godly man, worth looking at, worth studying, worth applying it to your heart and to my heart. And I like, when I look at a book, I like to try and work out what I would think of the key words to the book of Jeremiah. And one word I would pick out would be backsliding. Another one would be return. Another one would be amend your ways. And another one would be loved. And then I like to find a key chapter, a key verse in the book of Jeremiah. And I would pick something out like Jeremiah 3 there and verse 12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. And then we come to chapter 8, this chapter. It contains Jeremiah's message as he stands at the gates of the Lord's house and he declares that their crowning sin is that they're rejecting the word of the Lord. Isn't that the crowning sin of our country? Today, the prevailing feeling goes something like that, this. If our economy was all right, everything would be all right. But I think many are realizing our economy can be all right, and we can be all wrong. Now let's look at this place, Gilead. My text says, is there no balm in Gilead? Now where is that? Well, that's right there in Israel and Judah, a place east of the Sea of Galilee. And this region abounded in spices and aromatic gums. And people knew there was something precious there. It was exported to Egypt and to Tyre. And it was known for its healing balm, its healing ointment. This word balm it's a contracted form of the word balsam. And my Bible dictionary speaks of an evergreen tree yielding a medicinal oil, and that the tree rises to something like 14 feet. And this oil and this resin that comes from this tree comes through a hole which you make in the side of the tree. And it's of tremendous value. I don't know how many versions of the Bible there are in English, but the Coverdale Bible, we're going back a great number of years, the Coverdale Bible, you are so good to me, Andrew. There is no treacle in Gilead. There is no treacle in Gilead, used in the sense of an ointment. And if you were to search out this precious ointment because you had some malady, some illness, you'd want to find out a physician, and you'd want to get hold of this ointment, and you'd want it to be applied correctly to you. And it's that balm that I want to refer to, a spiritual balm, and because this world is aching. This world is full of problems and difficulties and woes. And I want to tell you tonight, there is a balm. There is a healing ointment available to the whosoever. And so I want to address three different types of people. I want to address the citizens, balm for the citizens, for the nation. Then I want to address balm for the sinner. And finally, I want to address balm for the saint. So first of all, balm for our citizens. Balm for the United Kingdom. Balm for Wales. Balm for the country. If you look at Jeremiah 8 and verse 20 there it speaks there of an absolutely terrible situation. It's as if the harvest is finished, but everybody's still hungry. There's no solution. No solution. And Jeremiah sees a doom. He sees that there's no remedy in the way the people are going. There's no remedy to soothe it. No healing balm, no physician. And sin is still in the world. and God is still God. Our politicians are still floundering about second causes. But the fundamental cause of all our trouble is that God is forgotten. This book is not revered. We discuss policy instead of putting away sin. Speaking of Jeremiah's day, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan says this: we read the history merely and say, what an unfortunate succession of kings. Now, these people failed to produce statesmen who were able to cope with the political situation. This lonely figure, Jeremiah, observing the race to ruin, said, the failure of you kings and the failure of your policy prove that the hand of God is upon you in judgment. It is he who breaks down the power of your king. It is he who brings to naught your intrigue with Egypt and hand your city over to the Assyrians, who are already at your gates. Where sin has destroyed the vision of God, men think that calamities which are permitted to come upon them are indications that God has abandoned interest in them. I like what Sidlow Baxter says in his lovely book, Explore the Book, but where the vision of God is clear, as it was with Jeremiah, the things which are permitted to happen are seen in their true significance. And these very calamities are seen to be evidences that God has not abandoned his throne. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no hope for our nation? The answer is there is balm, and there is a physician, and that physician can apply this balm. The reason this nation here in Jeremiah was ripe for judgment was that they would not go to the physician. They would not go to God. Secondly, there's balm for sinners. People who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible teaches us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? When I was a little teenager, I was in hospital for quite a long time, many months. And there was a boy in the bed by me. And he was playing on some rough ground, and there was a motorcycle. There was a motorcycle just been dumped there. No fuel in it, but he did look into it, and he put a match in it. And there was still a residual vapor there. And this little lad was nearly killed. And when I saw him in hospital, and he was in the bed by me, his poor little tummy had come all out. And I can see now in my mind's eye, his neck was rather like a chicken, and his face was unrecognizable. He was a brave fellow. But you know, every hour or so, the treatment room, they would call for him. And they would apply some form of balm on these dreadful burns. And they would then wrap them all up. And he used to long for them to come and deal with him. And then he would cry through the night. And it stuck in my mind. I think it would do. If you saw him, he was unrecognizable. But he was alive. And all the time, this balm and this ointment was given to him. And we have in here our text a metaphor of people like that. People who are dying through a disease or through an accident. This is how Isaiah, another prophet, put it in Isaiah 1. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. You know, Gilead wasn't a place a long way away. You hadn't got to catch a plane to go to Gilead. Gilead was right there in the nation. It was accessible to everyone. And you don't have to go to another country to meet Jesus Christ for yourself. You don't have to go to great endeavor, because he says he is with us and he is here with us. I want to tell you that God, the great physician, is here to apply that balm. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he shed his blood, we're told in Scripture, and took the punishment for my sin and for your sin. And he extends unmerited favor to you and to me. He offers a new life. He offers forgiveness. He offers freedom from guilt. And this heavenly balm is available today, this moment, this time. And there is a great physician. He's always been ready to apply it, to be your Savior. Just like the nation Israel, it is not because there was a deficiency of grace, nor of the means of grace, that we're not saved, but it's because we make no use of it. We think God can't help us. We're stuck in our own ways. The gospel is that Jesus Christ has tasted death for every man, bearing our sin on the cross, and he rose again from the dead. Tonight, I'd invite you, come to the great physician. It means a turning round. We must turn from our sin and face God. Be more than sorry for our sin. Say, I don't want that way of life. I want a new way of life. If you go to the New Testament, there's quite a chilling text which says, if you don't do that, in Hebrews it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Is there no balm in Gilead? The answer is there is balm. There is ointment. And thirdly, balm for saints. Little boy was asked, what are saints? And the little boy said, saints are when you take dead people and you put them in church-stained windows and they stop the light from coming in. Well, made me smile. But saints are simply believers, Christians, people who love the Lord Jesus. They're saints. After we are saved, is there balm for the Christian? You know, we have difficulties. If you come to Christ tonight, you're going to have difficulties in your Christian life. And we, as an assembly, as a fellowship together, as a church, we have difficulties. We have people here having, who at the moment, are a great happiness. And other people here who are going through a great deal of trouble. Is there balm for the Christian? Is there balm for you going through your problems? You've lost a loved one, ill health, great disappointments. Well, I'd like to tell you that my Bible tells me there is a balm. There is an ointment for those who love the Lord. And I'd like to put it like this and ask the question, what is the greatest gift a Christian can possibly have? Well, the answer to that is quite straightforward, salvation. That's the greatest gift, a gift you already have. I'm grateful to Alexander McLaren. I love this fellow. He gives this thought. He says, we do not expect that a man who hands over £1 million to another to help him will stick at a penny afterwards. Or let me put it another way, in a more modern context. Let me say that there's a young man who's fallen in love with a wonderful woman. And let's just say, for a matter of fact, that he's asked her to marry him. Let me put that to you. And she said, yes. And the expensive ring is going to be bought. And they go in the jewelers, and the decision is made, the ring is there, and the payment is made, and it's very, very expensive. Now, do you think this young man who's bought this expensive ring here on the counter, and he's paid his money, but now they turn at the counter, at the desk, and they turn down and say, would you like to buy a little box for it? Now, can you imagine that young man saying, well, I'm not forking out for a box. I don't think he's going to say that, is he? He's just forked out hundreds and hundreds of pounds for a ring. He's not going to say, no, I'm not going to buy a box. And that's exactly what it's like with God. The greatest gift that God has ever given us is his own dear son who died on the cross. There is nothing that God could have given you more You see, the greater will come first, and then the lesser. If he's able to save us, he's able to keep us. And if we have problems and difficulties, they are nothing compared to the tremendous gift of Jesus Christ to us. He will care for us. The lesser will follow the lead of the greater. And whatever our need as Christians are, it's a smaller thing for God to bestow than was the gift of his Son. Will he not care for you? Will he not care for me? Romans 8:32 puts this lovely verse, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Do you remember that story of the man who came down the road and he was attacked by robbers? And he was protected and he was helped by the Good Samaritan. Reminds me of a chorus. We sang it years ago in my heart. It went, can I get it out of my head? He poured in the oil and the wine that restoreth my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil and wine. That's what our Savior does to lives. There's many of us here have many a testimony of how Jesus Christ has changed us. Vice, bad habits. He's changed us. He's done something in our life, and he has an ointment, a balm, which is in Gilead. In Jeremiah's day, Judah had among themselves God's laws and his prophets, with the help of which they might have been brought to repentance, and their ruin might have been prevented. Jesus still calls us to come to him. And he puts it in such lovely ways. He says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now the interesting thing about this balm, if this tree was here, and we're only going to get just a few cubic centimeters out of it, it had to be cut and it had to be nicked, and this precious ointment would come out from it and give untold blessing to people. Jesus Christ died on the cross and he was crucified and his blood was shed and spilt. And it is as precious, that fisherman Peter said, "We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." His Spirit is a physician, and he urges us to come to him. Sin and ignoring God's offer of forgiveness will be the ruin of us. And there's many a person is proud, won't come to God, and yet sin can rob them of their very life. Adam Duran tells a story of a man in the open country of Scotland. And one day, the man was looking into the sky and he was watching an eagle soaring around. That eagle would rise into the sky on its mighty wings, and it was a magnificent sight. And then as he continued to watch that eagle, he was amazed because something was wrong. The king of birds didn't continue to rise into the sky with the same power and speed. And at first its flight began to be somewhat hampered, and then it came to a stop. And then it helplessly started to flutter, and then the great bird fell like a rock out of the sky and crashed to the ground right in front of the wanderer's feet. Looking closely, the man saw that the eagle was dead. And searching still closer, he observed that a small weasel, which the eagle had taken for its own food as it ascended with that weasel in its claws, the weasel had dug its own claws into the abdomen of the great bird. And the splendid eagle, as it soared upward trying to escape, was having its very lifeblood drained away from it. And that's a picture of sin that works on our life if we ignore Christ. When a man thinks he flies to the highest, sin is draining his lifeblood, and he is doomed to a tragic death. Don't be willful. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. Is there balm in Gilead? Yes, there is. Spiritual balm. Salvation is offered to all of us. And we who have difficulties in our Christian life through circumstances and various things, have fellowship. Avail yourself of this lovely book. Read it. Take it to your heart. Now, I've got a final word now. I'm going to, and I hope you don't turn off on my left-hand side, but a word to you as students, young people, or all who count themselves young. I want you to have a look at my hands. Look at my hands. I wouldn't say they're the most wonderful hands in the world, but they're my hands, and I like them. Yeah, I do. And I often show them to my Sunday school class, and I say, what do you think of these hands? And they say some rather unusual things, like, what are those marks on your hands? And I look at their hands, and their hands are white, absolutely white, and so pure and so lovely. And I find it very hard in my mind to think that those hands will one day be like my hands. And I cannot believe that I was like that. I mean, can you see me with a head of hair? Can you? What a change. Well, what's in my heart is this. Supposing I challenge you students now, after the service, to go onto the main road, and we'll have somebody we'll have Magnus to sort of start the stopwatch, and I will race you all to bang a clock. Do you think I would win? You haven't got to be polite. No, I would not win. What I would love to see is you as students having a zeal, a passion for the things of God. To say to yourself, my degree is wonderful, what I'm studying is wonderful, life is great, things are happening which are marvelous. But not to allow second best to deprive you of the best. And the most wonderful thing you can do as a student, as a young person, as a young worker, whoever you are, is to give your heart lock, stock and barrel to the Savior. To work for him, to pray for him, to be led by him in the things of God. Because there's another generation coming. These hands are, you'd say, gently to me, they're old hands, but you've got new life. And if ever older Christians would like to see anything of younger people, is for them to see them pick up the things of God, dare to be a Daniel, dare to be a Jeremiah, dare to win, and let people know there is balm in Gilead. It's not because of the deficiency of grace, and it's not nor of the means of grace that we are not saved. It's because we make no use of it. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, as our minister Freddie would say, while you still have time. God bless you.